Welcome back to Bones content here at Undisclosed Location, somewhere down the Jersey Shore. It's our bonus episode of American Loser on the topic of young Gus Grissom, the forgotten hero of NASA to a certain
There's a fork point. But,
we had a great episode
road.
Here. Kahuna and I, through Kahuna's magic technology, patched in a certain handsome Irishman who's stranded in South Florida. How are you, sir?
Yes, I am. We're doing good.
Well, I want to ask you real quick, because on my car ride over here, you told me this story, and I said, this has to be told.
Well, I fall up and I fall down.
Let's be honest, we got a couple jokes in here and there, but it's kind of hard to laugh at the end of Gus's story. You know?
He certainly met an untimely end, if you will.
But we did call him, Grump Gus or whatever. That was his nickname. But the guy had a sense of humor, as on display from the unsinkable Molly Brown naming of his spacecraft.
Right.
And then also you had this one, which just showed that his crew did have a good sense of humor in general. So without further ado, Lawrence Patrick, could you please tell us the story of this space sandwich?
Yeah, the space sandwich. That was an interesting read that I came across, that it was aboard Gemini 3, and that was with John Young as the assistant, if you will, and Gus Grissom was the commander of that flight. Just to back this up, to rewind it just a little bit, this was going to be the first crewed flight. In other words, the first flight where they're sending up two at a time rather than solo flights. Unfortunately, the Soviets beat the Americans to the punch on that by sending up their first two-man flight just a week before. So, the times, things were really, there was a definite race, the space race. The Soviets against the U.S., if you will, and the United States was getting beat to the punch on the space race, and we just went through the whole Bay of Pigs fiasco in Cuba in 61. So, I mean, it was definitely weird times with the Soviets being the evil empire, if you will. And now we're finally sending up, a week after the Soviets did it, we're sending up our first two-man crew. And
try not to upset our listeners in the Russian Federation, please. But continue, comrade.
Oh, okay. All right. we'll try to keep it politically correct then.
До свидания.
But as they're preparing for this flight, they're going through all kinds of tests. And one of the big things that they were going to test in Gemini 3 was what kind of food are they going to be able to consume in space, because there was, we're in the whole new frontier here of how do you handle weightlessness? Will the body even be able to digest food? I mean, some of the earlier Mercury missions and stuff, just to have one of the astronauts consume something, anything, to see if they're going to be able to swallow. That was a big concern, that are they going to be able to swallow and digest food in weightlessness? It was later found out, yeah, no problem, they can swallow and everything is going on fine. And the muscles that move the food down into the stomach happen automatically whether you're weightless or not. We can even consume food upside down. Anybody that has ever done a keg stand will attest to the fact that you can swallow while you're upside down. On the morning of the Gemini 3 flight, John Young is given a corned beef sandwich by Wally Schirra, another one of the astronauts. Now, Schirra was always known as the prankster. He was famous for his various gotchas, that he's always pulling pranks.
Because he's an asshole from Jersey, that's why.
There is a very, very strong Jersey connection with Schirra. I mean, he was born in Hackensack, but he actually grew up in Oradell, New Jersey. Schirra was a grad of Dwight Morrow High School. He then goes on to the Newark College of Engineering, which later became NJIT, New Jersey Institute of Technology. Oh, yeah, yeah. So he's Jersey through and through, no doubt. He's in Newark College of Engineering when Pearl Harbor takes place, and then he then enrolls into Annapolis and took off with his military career from there. But Sherrod was a bit of a character that, and he's noted for these, as it was termed, his gotchas, that he was pulling pranks. Not so much that he was a jokester, but you got to remember, too, these guys are risking their lives, no doubt. I mean, they were test pilots, and now they're into the space program. They're one of the first astronauts, and there's an extreme unknown. And, you know, nowadays we almost take it as commonplace, but back then you were definitely putting your life on the line. So to break it up a little bit with a little bit of levity, I think, was kind of a bit of a release too, but that's just my own take on this. But anyhow,
since he was from Jersey, do you think there's a potential that the corned beef sandwich could have come from what's that place in Edison?
No, it didn't come from one of the delis around Jersey. Actually, it came from a deli down in Florida, Cocoa Beach, Florida. Actually, the place was called Wolfie's Restaurant and Sandwich Shop. It has since closed, but it's Wolfie's deli that gets credit for actually constructing this corned beef sandwich that Wally Schirra has made like 2 days before the flight. So now you got a 2-day-old sandwich that he's passing on to John Young, and sneaks it into his flight suit and gets it on board Gemini 3. While they're flying around, one of the many tests that they were supposed to perform is to sample some of this space food that NASA was testing out. And space food at the time, in a word, sucked. Basically, you were squeezing like, I guess the best description is the consistency of baby food. Ugh. or paste out of basically a tooth paste kind of a container. So you were squeezing it out. One of the things that they were supposed to do on Gemini 3.
Your commentary just now, by the way, just to let you know, there are consequences for comments like that, sir. And Tang has just officially dropped us as a sponsor.
Well, that was one of the things that I found in my research here that, you know, growing up through that era, if you will, Tang was like the breakfast drink of the astronauts and all that kind of shit. Actually, Tang was not developed by NASA. Tang was developed by General Foods. Tang was first developed by, I believe it was General Foods back in 1959. But then it was used on the earlier space flights. So, of course, Tang then immediately started pumping that as a marketing ploy, that you're going to drink Tang, and because if it's good enough for our astronauts, our heroes, then it's certainly good enough for your breakfast. So shut up, kid, and drink it. You know,
we might have accidentally just done something here. By the way, we commented earlier that there wasn't much loserception on this episode, but if you recall, you just said it was General Foods Corporation that put Tang together. So
right.
That was first established in the United States by Charles William Post, C.W. Post, the competitor of the Kellogg's breakfast cereal. So congrats, yeah. Dr. John Harvey Kellogg. you've now been loserception. So we got a weird guy out in Michigan giving himself his own, circumcisions.
God.
And now somehow that's played into what the astronauts are having for breakfast.
Right.
I'm sorry to interrupt
right, there you,
sir.
Go. So there's a few steps in between there, Kev, but
some real Kevin Bacon actually, shit going on here.
That's right. But anyhow, there is a cross loose reception there, absolutely. And General Foods actually stole the recipe from Kellogg. So you know, there's many loser exceptions there. Till we get to Tang in 59. But anyhow, now the we're up in the capsule. They're flying around in Gemini 3. One of the things that they were supposed to do is to check out this new, relatively new development by NASA, that it's pouches of like freeze-dried, dehydrated stuff that they were going to squirt, like with a water pistol kind of a thing, squirt water into this bag of dehydrated glop, and then knead it all up inside the plastic bag, and then squeeze it out of the plastic bag and use that as their nutrition. And while they're flying around, John Young signals, you know, non-verbally to Gus, hey, you know, like, hey, what's up, man? And Grissom responds like, what you got? And he pulls out this corned beef sandwich out of his pocket. And Grissom loved corned beef sandwiches. I mean, that was one of his favorites. And, you know, I guess Wally Schirra had come to know that, because all these guys are going through the same training kind of a thing. And they're certainly have grown tired of eating space food. So now when Young pulls out this corned beef sandwich on rye bread, that was looking pretty good. And they commented about how good it smelled. They could smell it, you know, through the microgravity capsule, that the aroma was still there. And, upon taking a bite of the sandwich, they quickly realized, hey, this isn't going to work, because now the bread is getting, all the crumbs from the bread are starting to now float around the space capsule, which was a definite no-no. Because you got all this crap flying around that it could be landing within some of the sensors, some of the electronics, some of the controls to the various capsule itself, that they immediately stuck it back into his pocket.
Well, the reference we made too on the car ride down, that I know Kahuna is just can't wait to hear, is the episode of The Simpsons when they put Homer in space. And he opens a bag of potato chips once they've entered the orbit, if you will. And so the astronaut's like, no, Homer! He bursts open the bag of potato chips and then has to, in zero gravity, releases himself from his chair.
Eats
and then floats around. Da na 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 na.
So Homer's kind of like the Pac-Man, only he's jumping on potato chips as they're flying through space.
Yeah, so not quite corned beef crumbs, because corned beef crumbs are a little bit more difficult to approach.
Yeah, and again, doing research on this, I found out that there was some Soviet cosmonauts that kind of pulled a similar stunt, that they smuggled up chocolates or something on board one of their space missions, and things got away from them. Now they got all these little chocolate balls floating around their capsule, that it took them like 2 hours before they were able to finally collect everything back again. So
I just pictured one of the cosmonauts going after one of the chocolates floating in space, grabs it, and then one of them goes, hey, someone opened the rabbit cage and a bunch of his shit got out.
There you go. Hey, it's all protein, though, comrade. Chomp down.
Oof.
So when you know, when they realize that the crumbly rye bread is now floating around the cabin, and that's not going to be looked upon too well when they get back, and it could very much endanger the entire mission. You know, he sticks it back into his pocket. But when they got back to, back on the ground and stuff, there was several senior NASA officials that were not too pleased with that whole gotcha of smuggling on the sandwich. And then some of the Committee on the Appropriations for the very NASA program, the House of Representatives Committee, gets wind of this, and they're called to task, and like they're not happy. And I, actually, one of the Congress members starts to call it the $30 million sandwich that you assholes you assholes smuggled on a corned beef sandwich that, you know, we're spending millions and millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars on for this space program. Because, you know, that was a big controversy at the time, too. I mean, everybody's gung-ho for, yeah, we got to beat the Soviets, not only militarily, but technologically, and be the first to get somebody on the moon. That was Kennedy's challenge with his whole speech about being the first on the moon, putting down that challenge. But now these assholes could be disrupting the whole thing over a corned beef sandwich that it wasn't looked upon too favorably. But the media got a hold of that and they started calling it the $30 million corned beef sandwich.
Love it.
yeah. Now, what I also found that pretty cool, too, is that the original sandwich that was on board the space flight is lost in history. But there is a replica.
You would hope.
of that. Yeah, there is a replica of that corned beef sandwich that is now embedded in acrylic and has been exhibited at the Grissom Memorial Museum in Mitchell, Indiana, to memorialize the infamous $30 million sandwich aboard Gemini 3. So,
yeah, you can have the $30 million sandwich served at a restaurant. Comes with the $5 milkshake from Pulp Fiction.
So. Yeah. Later on, too, I mean, I think it was an interview, I believe it was with Life magazine. They started talking about with Young about that whole corned beef sandwich. And he said, the problem was, too, they didn't even give me a pickle and they had no mustard on it. he's still teasing about it. I mean, of course, years later, everybody's laughing about it. But at the time, these guys could be upsetting the entire space program. And it wasn't the big ha-ha that it was later laughed about. And this was only a six hour mission, and really they were up there to test out this space food, and they never really got around to doing that. So Congress was I think rightfully so that they were a little pissed off about that. And Wally Schirra's gotchas, they said that Schirra took on a whole different attitude to that whole thing once Gus Grissom lost his life. And after that, things were not just, we were a bunch of wild test pilot, space jockeys kind of a thing that, a lot of the ha-has, a lot of the gotchas kind of faded away from it. That he became a very, very serious guy with some of that shit. But there was later reports too at the same time that while he's on one of his flights, that in a deadpan voice he reports back to NASA that there's a sighting in space, and he starts giving the description of Santa Claus as they're flying around the world. So the guy had his moments as well, no doubt.
I just pictured the command center down at Cape Canaveral. No more Jersey jerk-offs, please, all right? I need nice Midwest kids with manners.
So. Yeah, there you go. Straight and narrow guys. I got to give Wally Schirra a shout-out, too, for not only the Jersey connection, but he was also a member of Boy Scout Troop 36 out of Oradell, New Jersey, too. So we got a Boy Scout connection there, too, as many of the early astronauts did. But, I guess they could have done s'mores or something like that, snuck that on. It wouldn't have been less crumbs floating around the capsule. But anyhow,
I got to laugh about that. I was going to say, I got to laugh about that, too, because I think you know this story. I mean, Kahuna may have heard it once before, but when we would do training exercises down in Cape Canaveral, the very same Cocoa Beach area where these missions were being launched from, that I was in the maintenance and repair division of my unit, so we had to keep generators going because it was a self-sustained camp that we, for 2 weeks, would build this camp on a field in the middle of nowhere on the facility at Cape Canaveral. And what we would do is we'd have to take the fuel trucks out into town. That was M&R Department's job. And that was a great gig to have because you'd have to go through the security thing, like obviously the base security too, but then our security detachment would be doing searches of the vehicles to make sure no contraband was coming in and stuff like that. So they figured out real quickly that what we would do is you'd go to right next door to the gas station we were going to was a Burger King. So everybody would, we'd get buck doubles for everybody. So you'd go and you'd get a buck double. So you'd collect the money before you went out on the fuel run. Then you'd come back with like a giant, like sacks full of sandwiches, almost like a White Castle kind of a vibe. We'd have a crave case of buck doubles from Burger King. And this is where they enjoyed having a guy from Jersey in the unit because we're sitting there. I'm going through security the one time. And the one guy is sitting there, starts busting chops. He goes, "What's this? Looks like a little contraband here. I'm going to have to confiscate that." And I was just like, "Oh, well, you know, I mean, there's a couple sandwiches in there. I mean, I don't know how many there are, but it looks like there's three of you and six of these. So, I mean, I think these are your sandwiches, actually, guy." And I bought and bribed my way in and became great friends with those. I shouldn't say their names because I'm still friends with both of them on Facebook, but... they would allow me to, as long as I bribed them with the occasional buck double, and the one girl wanted fries, that was her one thing. So we hooked her up with fries. And then otherwise, I was able to continue my little gummy bear and burger smuggling operation down at Cape Canaveral. So.
You were a burglar smuggler, man?
That's right. When the cops started to bust on Jimmy, he brought him in as partners. Not quite a corned beef in the cockpit, though.
Are they using your image then, Kev, as the Hamburglar on their marketing tour?
You see, he insults me this way. You're the only one in our family tall enough to play Ronald. Remember that, sir. All right.
Okay. Well, all sure. Right.
You got anything else on your way out? You want to say anything to the fans?
Just keeping the faith here, keeping strong, and stay together apart. And we'll see you as soon as we can here. We're trying to get back to whatever normal might be, but we're trying to get back there, and everybody stay safe and stay healthy.
That's well said, sir, on that one. And thank you for the story of the million-dollar sandwich. But
$30 million.
$30 million. Let's not be cheapskates here.
$30 million.
And that's 1965 dollars, so you can imagine what it would cost today.
Not bad. I just picture the poor people starving over in Russia under the Soviet Union. In America, sandwich costs $30 million. You understand?
Yeah, there you go. So,
but hell, all right.
We don't have it so bad.
Not bad, man. So, hey, thank you for telling the story of that one. You and Mom stay safe down there. I think if things wind up going somewhat okay, we might actually have you back in studio here before long.
Yeah, we're hoping.
I hear you, dude. Well, do me a favor and take care of yourself. Otherwise, Kahuna and I are going to sign off over here. And again, thank you to the listeners. This was the bonus episode of Gus Grissom, and that was the story of the $30 million corned beef sandwich. An American loser the day I was born. An American loser the day I was born. An American loser the day I was born.